This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. I suspect 2017 is going down to be the year of festivals in this country. We've had the annual Urbanscapes, a smaller Celtic festival, JB Arts Festival, held one specific to classical music. The Georgetown Festival has started and will spill into September. This past weekend, we saw Kuala Lumpur with its Festival of Ideas, and of course, the opening of the SEA Games, which was helmed by Soh Tiong Hin, a stage and film director. Then coming up this weekend is the Blossom Arts Festival 2017. In KL, a festival in Ipoh next month, September, Diversity KL International Arts Festival. And happening also this weekend and stretching over three weekends is the Shantanan Festival of the Arts. And with me are two people who are very much involved in the festival and who have a very specific show too that they are doing, Bhuma Manoharan and Jyotsna Prakash. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, the timing of this festival, like I said, there are so many festivals happening, but normally your festival comes later in the year. Why moving it so much earlier?
Well, the past 3 years it's been held in December, as you rightly said. This year it is in conjunction with Merdeka. 60 years of independence, we all want to celebrate the diversity of our people, our nation, our culture.
But what are the dangers of moving your festival up? I assume organizing a festival is not like sitting down to a meal, even a very good meal, an elaborate meal. A festival like this, and I saw the program, so many major performances, you have workshops, exhibitions, showcases. It's humongous.
Yes, I actually, my part in this festival is that I'm doing a show called Under the Kayon Tree. And I actually planned for this much earlier. So when the festival moved, it moved to this whole slot. Everyone was doing something in conjunction with Merdeka, so it made total sense for the festival to move to that period. And then everyone celebrate together.
How long ago did you start planning your show?
Last year, because I had a grant from the CIMB Foundation. They had wanted me to do a show, and I have been thinking and thinking and thinking about it and not wanting to just do something for the sake of doing something. So I thought about it, and then I thought, okay, let's do it for Merdeka.
We will hold that discussion about your show Under the Kayon Tree. We'll hold that discussion for a while and talk about the festival from a kind of bird's eye view.
Sure.
How long ago was this planned?
The festival for this year, well, it's been in the planning since the beginning of this year. Now we already know that we're going to do some kind of a festival every year. Generally, we keep it to the end of the year when the school closes. But this year, in conjunction with Merdeka, like I said, and also that we had several other productions that were also on the calendar, and it all seemed to fit in quite nicely, like pieces of a puzzle, to give us these what we call feature productions that would be highlighted very nicely during the festival.
Because of Merdeka, you have performances which are not traditional Indian dancing only. You have other things. What are the other performances?
Well, we always try and keep it as diverse as possible. And this year, I mean, even to begin with, where Jyotsna was mentioning about Kayon Tree, that in itself has got a diverse undertone, which I'll let her elaborate later. We also have a huge team coming in from Singapore that's doing a production called Antaragni, and that's actually showcasing this weekend on the 26th and 27th, Saturday, Sunday. And their theme is around fire. So Agni means fire in Sanskrit. The concept of fire as approached by different cultures, different religions, different races.
So it's not confined to traditional Indian?
Not at all. There might be an underlying Indian tone to it, but they have collaborations with like Chinese drummers. There's a flamenco Spanish dancer.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
you know, how big is this group?
It's huge. It's about a cast of 40 to 50 people, and they're all coming from Singapore. There are a couple of people from Perth, India.
You have a center in Singapore, and that's where the performers are coming from, or
correct,
they are the ones organizing it from Singapore and bringing it up to,
yep,
Kuala Lumpur.
Yep.
But you also have a Temple of Fine Arts in Perth.
Yes.
And when you have all these centers, does that allow you then to tap into them to bring performances so that you don't have to worry about creating them all here?
Well, we do have a very healthy exchange of ideas and artists. And in the past, many of our productions have involved artists from Perth. Many of the artists in Perth originate from KL. So they've all migrated over at some point in time.
So these are Malaysians who are living over there,
yeah,
now and
so,
become Australians.
You know, we are all an extended family of each other, basically.
So beyond Singapore and Perth, is there another center for Temple of Fine Arts?
Yeah, we have centers in India.
That is to be expected.
Yeah, and also in Sri Lanka. And within Malaysia itself, we have centers in Malacca, Johor Bahru and Penang. In fact, Antaragni will be traveling to the Georgetown Festival next week.
Wow, yeah. To have so many centers, I'm putting on my hat as a performer, thinking that, you know, if I have so many centers, all I need to do is organize one big festival in Kuala Lumpur and travel it to Penang, travel it to Johor Bahru, travel it to Malacca.
Yes.
Is this what's going to happen
it
after?
It sounds fantastic on paper, Sunil.
What's not fantastic about it?
I think each center has got like a creative force that comes up with ideas every year. So we try to exchange as much as possible. We've gone over to Perth, taken our shows over to Perth. They have come over here. This exchange with Singapore is one example. I think Singapore has been quite good in that sense. They have taken Antaragni and other productions to Penang, KL, Johor. It's a huge effort, though.
I bet it is. When you have so many groups coming in and you have so many performances, trying to find a space for somebody to perform in to do just a workshop or a showcase, it's a logistical challenge.
I mean, you're quite right about that, because it's not just about the performance space, it's about the accommodation space, the travel space, all the other things that come along with hosting such a big group.
Yeah, I can just imagine when all descend on the Temple of Fine Arts, the performers will just take up the whole space. There's no more room for audience.
Correct. Yeah.
I guess when people who are organizing festivals, one of the issues is like, how do you fund something so large?
As always with Temple of Fine Arts, we depend a lot on the good wishes of art lovers mainly. And also we reach out to sponsors who have an interest in arts and culture and the interest of having the culture being propagated and promoted within the country.
And what's interesting is that when you have events at the Temple of Fine Arts, including this huge and a very diverse array of offerings, people are invited to come see the show and pay what they can.
Yeah. It goes with the philosophy of the Temple of Fine Arts itself. I mean, our classes, if you look at our fee structure, it is very low, and the reason it's that way is not because we have a lot of money, it's because we want to make it accessible to anyone, and money shouldn't be the deterrent, you know. So we try to extend that to our shows as well, so we want everyone to come and watch a performance and not have to say, you know what, the tickets are too expensive, I can't bring my daughter or my son, and that's why. A lot of people understand that, and that's why we have a lot of well-wishers who, like Bhuma was saying, they extend their kindness in terms of money or in terms of even help to volunteer at this festival and many of our other shows as well.
It's an interesting point that she raises in terms of people being able to pay what they want, because some people are not comfortable with the fact that it's pay as you wish and they'd rather not come. But in a sense...
How interesting.
Yeah, yes, because we have had a lot of friends and acquaintances who say, you know, I'd rather go to something where they say it's X, Y, Z amount or whatever. But in a sense, we feel that we are also helping to educate the public because we want them to come and value the show for what they feel it is. They can always come back after the show and say, hey, I thought it was worth a lot more than what I paid, and give us a donation. Because we are quite open about the fact that we are a charitable institution, very often in dire need of funds, as you rightly say, to put up something of this size.
Well, I can understand it's hard to put a monetary value on what you have seen, but I find it interesting that people would say, I don't want to come because I don't know how much to pay.
Yeah, it makes some people uncomfortable, actually.
Yeah, I know it would never have occurred to me that this might be a deterrent to going to see a show.
It's true. It's real. Very real, actually.
Talking about the whole festival, what are the key performances? You already mentioned this one from Singapore.
Yes. There are three main feature productions. One is the one from Singapore called Antaragni, and that's 26th, 27th. The following weekend, on the 2nd and 3rd of September, we have something called Ramanatakam. For people who are familiar with the Ramayana, it is an age-old Indian epic spanning over millennia that was originally in Sanskrit, and it was rewritten in the Tamil language by a poet called Arunachala Kavi. It is a dance production based on the Tamil interpretation of the Ramayana.
And then the last weekend is?
The last weekend will be Jyotsna's Under the Kayan Tree.
So each major show will anchor each separate weekend?
Yes.
Now we want to go talk about your Under the Kayan Tree. I'm speaking with Bhuma Manoharan and Jyotsna Prakash. They are both involved with the Shantanan Festival of the Arts 2017. But Jyotsna and Bhuma are both also very much involved in a particular production which will happen on the third week called Under the Kayan Tree. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soo Ning, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soo Ning talking about the Shantanan Festival of the Arts 2017. And I have in the studio with me Bhuma Manoharan and Jyotsna Prakash. Both are involved with Under the Kayan Tree. What is Kayan, by the way?
Kayan actually is a puppet in wayang kulit. So it's also called gunungan. So it's in the shape of a leaf that's used to start the wayang kulit normally. So why I've called it Under the Kayan Tree, it's because it's also based on the Pohon Beringin, or Tree of Life. So it's my imagination that this tree is what Malaysia is.
Just now, you composed this whole piece.
Yes.
What genre would it fall under? Is this a dance? Is this a drama?
I would say that it centers mainly on music, but it's got elements of theatre.
When
so it's mainly music.
When you say music, what do you mean? Is it like singing?
It's orchestral.
Orchestral. And yeah. What instruments are called to participate in this performance?
So I've got about 15 musicians, 1-5, in this show. So they play a diverse range of instruments from Western to even Malaysian instruments. So I've got cello, I've got the harp, Western violin, Carnatic violin, gambus, erhu. I have the tabla, the drums. So it's really all over the place.
Not all over the place. It's diverse.
Yeah, it's diverse. But it represents how...
Malaysia.
Yeah, it represents me in a sense also. The way I think about music, so...
And how do you think of music?
I mean, I've been thinking about this for many years. Because I play the piano. And I play Indian music on the piano. And people will be like, so what kind of music do you play? And I would launch into this long story about actually I learned this and then I stopped and then I did Indian music. So I play Indian music on the piano. Then they'll ask me the same question again. So what kind of music do you play? So I've come to the conclusion that I actually play Malaysian music. In my compositions, I like to include gamelan, gambus, erhu, as well as the sitar, tabla, because these are things that I grew up with. I grew up listening to P. Ramlee. I grew up watching all his movies, Sudirman. So I like to incorporate all of that into my music.
So how would you describe the sound? What are its textures?
In this production particularly, I have tried to make each story. So we are doing four stories. There are 5 pieces altogether, but 4 stories, mainly centering on Parameswara, Hang Lipo, Masuri, and the story of Hang Tuah and Hang Jebat. So in each story, I hope to bring forth a message, which is in the subtext of the piece itself, about, for example, Hang Tuah and Hang Jebat talks about conflict. So if you know the history or you know the story between both of them who were good friends, you would read about wonderful story where Hang Tuah kills Hang Jebat.
And they're such good friends.
Correct. And the reason he killed Hang Jebat is because Hang Jebat was defending him.
Such irony.
Irony. And conflict. So we're talking about how in each of us, and also connecting it to our social, political situation right now in Malaysia, in each of us there is a Hang Tuah and Hang Jebat. We don't know who to listen to. We don't know what is right, what is wrong. So those kind of things are why I chose these pieces. I believe that our history is in our present as well.
Like you said, you have these four stories. How do they weave into each other in the performance itself? Are we going to see distinct stories being told, or are we going to see something start and then before it finishes, another story comes in so that it becomes a kind of a melding of four?
Right now in this production, it's all separate. I would like it to be seamless though, but they are separate stories and they culminate in the last piece, which is called Logat, by Prakash Hisharudi and Jack Wan from Hands Percussion. So they are doing a percussion piece using their percussion syllables as language. And so the base of that piece is that how we all speak different languages or different dialects. But at the end of the day, we all understand each other and we all are able to converse, you know.
To some extent, I would say music allows for that a lot more than languages of, you know, verbal language where there are words. We tend to hear a word that's in a foreign language and we go, we build up a wall. We don't listen. But musicians listen.
Yes. And actually, this piece and this whole show is a representation of the fantastic experiences that we have had working with the students from Aswara, teachers from Aswara, and different, even Hands Percussion, we've worked with them. So it's been a fantastic experience actually working with fellow Malaysians. This is the only way that I can talk about it, through music. And I can share my experience because in a lot of other senses, there are not very nice stories these days. But this is a wonderful story to share.
Now, you also have a narrator. Yeah. So does that mean then there'll be somebody speaking over the music? Or will the music fade out and then you hear somebody saying, this is the story of Hang Jebat and Hang Tuah. This is the story of Mashuri.
Yeah, so it kind of flows into each other. For example, like in Hang Jebat, we would have a dancer, Azmi. He would do his contemporary silat, moving into Shantini's narration, and then it move into the music. So it's kind of connected, but at the same time, each piece stands on its own. And she's on stage. She's not going to be off stage. She's going to be on stage as part of the whole thing.
How large a group are you using to tell your stories?
We have, I think, about 30 people on stage at one time. Yeah.
I'm always interested in how composers arrive at what they do, especially when music is, for somebody like me, less linear. When music is sound, as opposed to when you write something, it's one word after another word. I guess music, you have one note after another note. But sometimes sounds don't have to be linear. Words have to be.
Yeah. I don't know. Actually, this process is something that it's almost like fluke for me. I sit down at the piano, sit down in my room in TFA, and I literally just switch off the lights or have a very dim light and then just wait for something to happen. And then sometimes I get a line. Sometimes I would say God gives me some inspiration. I get a line and then it goes from there.
So for you, this one, were the stories the inspiration or was the music that led you to say, you know, I'll bring in these four stories?
I think it was the story of Hang Lipo, actually.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know. In my research, I have been reading like a few stories and I came across the story of Hang Lipo. And one line captured me where they say she's the silent princess. Where you read about her in history books, she was the daughter, and even that is in question, whether she was a daughter of a king, was she a daughter of
a servant,
general, yeah. Whether she was a servant, nobody knows. But she brought together the great empire of Malacca and the great empire of China. So she was instrumental in forging this great bond. But you never hear of her speaking. There is not one Hang Lipo said this. At least I have not read it. So that captured me. And then I thought about the plum blossom tree. Because everything about the show is coming back to the tree. So I thought about how the migration of that petal, it flew all the way and it landed here. And so the whole show is actually based on that idea where a seed, and all of us are seeds from different places. So we've all flown here, we've landed in this soil, sprouted, which is the word ankur actually. Ankur actually is Sanskrit for sprout. And we've brought our seeds of language, our tradition, our cultures, and then we've grown from there into a tree. A very strong tree with branches that embrace everything that is surrounding us, and that makes us an amalgamated Malaysian culture. That's what I believe.
It's no wonder that your show, your performance is happening now as part of the celebration of our 60th anniversary.
Very symbolic.
Now, you say you got four stories. How do they all tie? Because like the first one you say is the conflict, you know, Hang Jebat and Hang Tuah, you have the conflict, and then at the same time, the unity, the friendship between the two. Then you have this one.
Yeah.
How does Mahsuri fit into it?
Mahsuri is, I actually was thinking about her struggle to get the truth out about how she was unfairly accused. We don't know. So everything is in a little bit of a question mark for me, including Parameswara. When you read history books, some books say Parameswara, and then in other history books, he's called something else. So my story is actually based on that, like, why, you know?
This is, in a way, reflect where we are in the country. Even though we are celebrating 60 years, there's a big question mark over where we are going.
Yes. I actually, as a Malaysian, I question many things. I love this country. I love being here. There are many times that we've thought about migrating, but I cannot. Prakash and I just, we've decided that's it. We love this place too much. We consider this our home. And when we travel to other places, they call us, oh, the Malaysian dancer or Malaysian singers or the Malaysian composer or the Malaysian musicians are here. But in Malaysia, we are Indian musicians. This is something that I hope, and this is certainly my hope for my kids and their kids, that at one point that everybody will be
Malaysians.
Malaysian. Simple.
We're not, that I'm not Suning, Chinese.
Correct.
You Indian, you know?
Yeah.
And that bringing us all together is an important thing. And you know, often when we think about these kinds of things, we go to the arts, to the performing arts. We go to literature to bring us together.
Yes.
And from that perspective, the performing arts as an entity, as groups of artists, there is this huge responsibility.
Yes. And that's why I said earlier how this show is representative of that experience of us working together with no kinds of prejudice, nothing. So it's been actually fantastic for us as musicians, and I'm sure for actors and dancers as well.
If performers can come together like that, maybe performing arts should be a larger part of everybody's education.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
In fact, it is in many countries, isn't it? I think we don't give enough importance to that here.
Schools can actually play a very big role, I think, in propagating this idea. Even if at a very simple stage, like in Standard 1, Standard 2, primary school, when they teach music, they can talk about the different instruments we have that already provide some kind of information to the child. Oh, this is there and that is there. There's kind of...
There are different voices coming out from different instruments, but together they make music.
Even just information, basic information that this exists in our country and they are all part of us, you know, that's simple enough.
Unfortunately, my only memory of music lessons in school was always half an hour of very poorly played recorder music, you know. If it was something more interesting, something more memorable, I think we would have a lot more people opting to do music more seriously.
In Convent Central, though, we did quite a few things. I was from Convent Central, and I remember at one point I was learning the veena, which is a South Indian stringed instrument. They told me to bring it to school. So I brought it to school. And then my teacher said, okay, so do you think you can work with this pianist? So I said, okay. And then we played Phil Collins. What's that song?
Phil Collins.
A Phil Collins song, yeah. And I think maybe that was the start of it all.
Well, thank you both very much. The Shantanan Festival of the Arts begins this Saturday, August 26th, and runs through to Sunday, September 10th. Events which include performances, workshops, showcases, even art workshops.
Even art workshops.
Are all held at the Temple of Fine Arts, some in the main Shantanan Auditorium and some in the Kanagasabai Studio and other studios within the building. Admission to the events are all on a pay-as-you-can basis. But don't let that stop you.
Please.
Don't let that stop you. Don't let the parking stop you either. We have alternative arrangements. There's a very brand new parking lot that's open just down the road from the Temple of Fine Arts.
Great. Thanks for the good news.
Yes. And we've also got a partnership with Riding Pink, which is unfortunately only for the ladies, but fortunately driven by ladies. So you are hopefully ensured a safe ride there, and you have a 5 ringgit discount for patrons who use that.
But I'm most happy with the news that you have a new parking arrangement.
Yes, yay.
Thank you both again.
Thank you.
This is Front Run, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.